can, stand with me. I'm going to read three verses tonight, but we'll go deep into chapter number 8. And it really has a resurrection theme to it also, because anyhow, I've called the message tonight, Steadfast in the Work of the Lord. Steadfast in the Work of the Lord. And when you think about being steadfast, I believe you automatically would think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. And so we're going to be looking at that verse also, but in light of what we're going to read in the book of Judges. So preachers are, they can do a lot of things like get resurrection out of Gideon. But not resurrection, but the idea of steadfast in the work. And I believe that this will be brought out in the text tonight. And I'm telling you, it's one thing to get saved, praise the Lord for that, to begin to serve the Lord, but it's another thing to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. So while it is good to start, we also need to finish. And so I want you to notice with me in verse 22, and this is where we ended our story last time, the narrative of the 300 men that has been down to 300 men. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bethshitta in Zerath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Taboth. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all of Mount Ephraim saying, Come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Orb and Zeb, and they slew Orb upon the rock Orb. And Zeb, I love these names, slew at the winepress of Zeb and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Orb and Zeb to Gideon onto the other side of Jordan. Now drop down, and there's going to be some things that happen in verse number, in these verses, and I want to look at it. But I want you to look at verse number 11. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jokbeah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. So they smote the host, and when Zebab and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zebab and Zalmunna, and discomforted all the host. Wow, that is quite a steadfastness in the work of the Lord, if you'll look at it in its context. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for protecting our brother in Sri Lanka. Lord, that doesn't take away from the hurt, the devastation, the murder, the mayhem that has taken place there. And Lord, we know the devil. He's trying to stir up stuff all the time. And do pray for the ministry there, especially in Colombo and also in the tea countries and the churches and the men out of that church. Lord, they're all affected, just like we were affected on 9/11 and how tragedies come to a specific location, but it reverberates throughout a whole country. And we realize that would be taking place right now in Sri Lanka. We pray that because of this, the gospel of Jesus Christ would be able to go forth greater than it ever has. And that we pray, Lord, that what the devil meant for bad, that you would turn to good. Lord, thank you for the life of Gideon and what we've learned so far. And we find that it's not by numbers that your work is accomplished, because you can work with the numbers that you so choose. But I pray tonight that we might see a theme that is found in the text tonight of the man Gideon and the 300 and many of the Israelites pursuing after the Midianites to secure the future for Israel at this time. God, help us to understand that we are not to just begin in the work, but we need to finish, and we need to continue to be faithful in the work of the Lord. And every time we come together as a church family, we represent continuing on and keeping on and being steadfast and being unmovable in the work of the Lord. And I pray that we might grab a hold of that idea tonight. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. Let's use that tonight as an introduction to the message that we're looking at tonight. Now, of course, 1 Corinthians 15 was from our Sunday school lesson. We talked about the resurrection this morning, and we talk about the victory that's found in the revelation with 144,000. But I believe that you could understand that 1 Corinthians 15 is called the resurrection chapter. I mean, there is much that is spoken about the resurrection. And when Paul gets down to the end of that chapter, and I know that man puts the numbers and the divisions on the Word of God, but basically, if I could say it, because of the resurrection, because of everything, Paul uses the term in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore. Now, I think you understand, you can receive instructions from your parents, or you can receive instructions from an employer who says to you, now this is our policy, this is what we do, therefore do this. Or because of is the idea. So because of the resurrection, because of the victory that I have through Jesus Christ, because we can actually say this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can all say amen to that. So right after that, the great apostle Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, and here's the idea in the book of Gideon tonight, be steadfast. Then he says this, unmovable. Man, that's what we need. We saw that from the book of Hebrews, even last Wednesday night, and we'll see the continuation of that. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right, now with that in mind, you might ask, what does that have to do with our text tonight? Well, it was one thing for Gideon to receive the instructions from God to do what he was going to do, which was very unusual, smash the pitchers, blow the trumpets, cry out the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and understand that we're nothing but a bunch of biscuits to be used for the glory of God. It's one thing to enter into the battle, but the battle is not won until the Midianites are pursued. There's not going to be complete victory and security for the nation of Israel just by the battle. They've got to pursue the enemy. They've got to continue on. And this is quite a narrative. It's quite a story here we find, because everybody was not on board when it came to the ministry of Gideon. Everybody was not going to help him in the elimination, if you would, of the Midianites. So just stay with me. We're going to go through this. But I think of 1 Corinthians 58, I realized as I was studying the book of Judges chapter 7, I kept going back to that steadfastness in that verse. Because that verse, again, is spoken in light of victory that we have through Jesus Christ. The reason that we can be steadfast in our work for the Lord, and the reason that we can be unmovable, is because not of us, not of our ability, not of anything that we've ever done, but because of what Christ has done for us. Now you understand, on this day, we celebrate Easter, and it was because that Jesus Christ came out of that grave and overcame death that we're here tonight. Because outside of the resurrection, there would be no gospel. And our future is secure because of the resurrection. Now, again, the pursuit by Gideon was to be this, was to do, bring a better future for Israel. Now, we can be reminded tonight that it's Israel that's always getting themselves in trouble. It's the Israelites that we find in Baal worship or in some kind of dilemma. It's really because of their actions and attitude that the Midianites have oppressed them for the last 7 years. But God is a gracious God. God is a good God. God still loves us in spite of our weaknesses, our difficulties. And so Gideon was to bring a better future. But before he could have success, I'm going to tell you, he had to have a steadfastness. Can I say that if we could say it like that, true success, and I realize that when we think about success, you know there's only one time in the Bible that the word success is actually used. And it's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, when Joshua was giving a charge to the nation of Israel when he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." All right, so if you think about that, and we're thinking about steadfastness, that is being steadfast in our belief. All right? This book, the Word of God, should not depart out of our mouth. Now, I'm not going to add to the Scripture, but what's in our hearts, what comes out of our mouth. So we have to have the Word of God in our heart. Then he goes on to say, "But thou shalt meditate." So we need to be steadfast in our meditation, we need to be steadfast in our belief. And then he says this, therein day and night. That means we need to be steadfast in our conduct that is written therein for then. So after being steadfast in our belief, after meditating on the Word of God, after our conduct actually does what the Word of God says, then thou shalt have good success. So do you understand it's not just enough to start? You have to continue. You can't stop. Again, it's one thing to start, but it's another thing to remain steadfast. Now, the word steadfast, even at this point in my message, I looked it up to make sure that I was understanding. It means to be firm, it means to be fixed, and it means to be established. So when the Bible says, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast," it means to be firm. It means to be fixed. It means to be established. Now, what Gideon started, he's going to finish. But it doesn't mean there's going to be problems that are going to be found in the text. So I would say, after reading Joshua 1:8, 1 Corinthians 15:58, and yes, I'm getting closer to getting to the text and the narrative, true success can only be found in people who are steadfast. You're never going to have true success being wobbly, double-minded, serving God one day, serving the world the next day. It's not going to happen. You got to be steadfast all the time. So now with that in mind, the idea, think about this. The idea of 300 men in pursuit of the Midianites to accomplish a complete victory is quite a story. Especially when you read chapter 8, and you begin to understand the numbers and how many numbers there were in the 300 versus how many Midianites there were. You might say it was, again, one of those things that I like to say, only God can get the glory. Only God can do certain things. That's what our life needs. Our life needs to look like what happens only God can do, so only God can get the glory. Amen. If something good happens in our life, if we're not careful, we'll start taking the credit for it. We like that. Our flesh likes that. We like to puff our chest out and say, "Look what I've done." But I'm old enough to know that that's not what I do, it's what God does. Amen. Now, Gideon didn't quit until the job was done. When is the job done? When God takes us home. That's when we can quit. Look at chapter 8 and verse number 12. I know I've said this, and forgive me in the pronunciation of these words. Me and Alexander Scorby have gone over these, but they never come out like Scorby gives them. He's much better. If we did, it'd be like this, and when the Zeba and Zebra fled. No wonder people go to sleep reading the Bible, all right? The idea is, in verse 12, he pursued after them, he took them, and he discomforted the host. So see how I did that? I didn't even have to read a name. He pursued after them, he took the two kings, and discomforted all of the hosts. You know what that means? That means that he actually continued on until the job was done. Now what the Bible is going to show us is all of the difficulties between verse number 25 and chapter 8, verse 12. We find out it's not just that easy. And I do believe by understanding that the host was secure, verse 11, that he discomforted all the host. Here's what I believe. People quit too soon. And I'm not getting on to anybody tonight, but church planters sometimes quit too soon. Missionaries quit too soon. Preachers quit too soon. You just got to keep on, Brother Booster. You just can't stop. God's the one that gives the increase. God's the one that does the work. People quit too soon. We quit when God says quit. Or when we die, we'll have to quit. Or the rapture takes place, then we can quit. And here's what I believe, I'm convinced of this, that the lack of commitment is the plague on the church of the living God today. Now, I want you to think about this. Again, by the time this pursuit of verses 22 through verse 25, so the 300 blew the trumpets, verse 22, the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together, verse 23. He begins to call the men of Naphtali and Asher and Manasseh, and they pursued after the Midianites, and Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come on down here against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethabara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethabara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Orb and Zeb. And they slew Orb upon the rock of Orb. And Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Orb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Now, I want you to look at verse number 8 and verse number 10. And I know I'm kind of picking these verses out, and they all go together, of course, in the context. But here, notice this. Now, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them. Look at this. About 15,000 men. That's all that were left of all the host of the children of the east. Now notice this, for there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. Now here's the deal. There's only 15,000 Midianites left out of 135,000 Midianites, and they started out with 300 Israelites. Now, I recognize that verse 22 through verse 25 tells us that after the blowing of the trumpets and after the breaking of the lamps, and that they called the men of Israel together. I got all that, all right? But I'm telling you, the Midianites were on the run, and they were headed back to their homeland, which was east of Jordan. And this is where it's real easy. Well, we got the job done, fellas. Let's all go home. Wouldn't things have been a little bit different in World War II if they'd have listened to that old surly George Patton who said, let's go all the way to Moscow and take care of everything while we're at it? Does anybody in here know history? Have we failed? Do we fail in our history? Would it have been different? Would we have dealt with what we dealt with for all those years? Come on. I'm not afraid to say stuff out loud. Would it have been different over there in the Middle East if we'd have went all to Baghdad the first time? Look at these Marines out there that were there. They're shaking their head. Well, right now they could have easily quit. But Gideon saw past today. And he looked to the future. And here's the deal. Our desire should be to complete the victory. Victory in the spiritual battle that we're in cannot be won unless we are steadfast. Steadfast in our faithfulness, steadfast in dedication to the Word of God, steadfast to prayer, steadfast to worship, steadfast to service. Now let me just tell you what Gideon would be considered today in the religious world. They'd say, man, that guy's a fanatic. Hey, listen, look what we've done. We've killed 120,000. That's good enough. No, it's not. There's 15,000 more, Gideon said. Because anyone who's sold out to God is considered unbalanced. You know that? Well, I tell you, they go to church 3 times a week. They go to church on Sunday. Do you understand this is why people are taking away church services? You know, people need to be balanced. It's all about the family. Well, how about your family in church? Best place to raise your children is in the house of God. Amen. Not on the baseball field. That's right. Because anyone who's sold out, they say, look at chapter 8. Now look at verse number 4. Now you may have to go home and read all of this because I'm piecing it together kind of backwards for a specific reason. But look in chapter 8, verse number 4. Gideon came to Jordan. Now notice, we've already looked at chapter 8, verse 10. There's 15,000 left. And Gideon came to Jordan in verse number 4 and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him faint, yet pursuing them. Did you see that? It's not always easy. It's not always easy. We get tired. But can I tell you something about tired? These young people, I'm so tired. Are you serious? How can you be tired when you're young? Now, Brother Boonstra, it's okay for him to say, preacher, I'm tired. Well, brother, you're 93 and next month you'll be 94. I've got it on my calendar. It's okay to be tired. But it ain't okay to be tired when you're 25. Man, don't you wish you had your mind, Brother Boonstra, that you have now, but you could have your 25-year-old body back? Woo! Son! But the truth is, the battle becomes weary. But let me tell you something, folks. Great difficulties did not stop Gideon. He was exhausted. He was weak, yet pursuing. Few in number, yet pursuing. Unsupported by many, yet pursuing. Criticized in his work, yet pursuing. Well, show us that. I'm glad you asked. I'm going backwards. Look at verse 1 and 2. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Ephraim, get over yourself. How come you didn't call us to the battle? What is being done here is criticizing. Verse number 2. And he, Gideon, said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abizar? God hath delivered unto your hands the princes of Midian, Orb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. But he was criticized. He was criticized in the work. He was unsupported by many. Because look at this. He goes to verse number 5. Now, by verse number 4 said he's faint, yet pursuing. But verse 5 says, and he said unto the men of Succoth. And I kind of want to paraphrase it. Hey, fellas, can you give us some bread unto the people that follow me? They be faint. I'm pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. We need food. We need help. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, I like Gideon said, hey, bucko, when we get done with this battle, I'm going to come tear your flesh up with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Now, that sounds like a guy that's hangry. I get that way if I'm really hungry. Yeah, he was hangry. Angry and hungry at the same time brings hangry. Hey, we need help. So he's criticized by Ephraim. He's unsupported by the city of Succoth. He doesn't receive any bread. All he's getting is criticism. And he still pursues. Now, I think really that's the probably the miracle that we don't actually grab a hold of, is that God continued to sustain him even when he was criticized. And listen, when you get criticized, it's easy for the flesh to rail up against you, because we're all human. And so here we are. Listen, think about this. 120,000 Midianites have been taken care of. 300 men are on pursuit. They're faint. They've already taken some of the territory. They continue, and number one thing happens, they get criticized. Hey, how come you didn't call us? And then number two, they're not fed, and yet they pursued. Now, what does that tell us tonight? What's the application? Well, number one, don't let your feelings keep you from serving God. People are always going to be people. When somebody says something ugly, look at them like they're the ones that are ugly, because they are. And don't quit because of people. And don't quit because of criticism. And don't quit because you're hungry. You understand what I'm saying? It's okay to be faint in our duty. And let me just tell you something about being tired. Here's what I believe. The world is run by tired people. If you want to get something done, give it to somebody that's already doing something. They had not slept, they had not eaten, they were weary in the work, but they were not weary of the work. I get tired of hearing stuff like, he's stressed out. What? What does that mean? He's stressed out. He's tired. Well, it's okay to get tired, but don't get tired of what you're doing. Hebrews 11:34, the Bible says of the great people of faith, out of weakness were made strong. The Apostle Paul said, when I was weak, then God was strong. Isaiah 40 says, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's okay to be weak, just don't quit. Even though Gideon had slain 120,000, Gideon's heart was, there's still 15,000 Midianites left. You know, it's easy to sit in a church like Berean Baptist Church and think, well, we've got everything. No, we don't. Well, you know, we're finished. No, we're not. What do you think? The gospel still needs to be preached. Missionaries still need to be supported. Buildings have to be maintained and built. There's no. Listen, if you're going backward, you're dying. We need to be going forward. There's still 15,000 Midianites that are left. There may be 120,000 already killed, which, by the way, can I remind you, with 15,000 Midianites and 300 on pursuit, that's still, there's still 50 to 1 against them. You know the odds are against us. You know that, right? Everybody understand the odds are against us. Ah, well, you can't have an old fashioned Baptist church, you know, in our culture. You got to appeal to the flesh. You got to appeal to the millennials. Peh. I'm too old to do that. Amen. And even when I was young, I wouldn't appeal to. I want to appeal to God. Amen. No, listen, young people, still, there's still young people who want to serve the Lord. There's still young people that want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to be tapped around. They want to preach the Word of God. Numbers are not a sign of whether God is at work or not. He can work in the smallest of numbers. In fact, let me read in Leviticus. Yeah, you know, Leviticus. I'm tired, but I'm not tired of the work. Leviticus 26. Look at this. 26, I'll give you two verses. 26:3 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Verse number 8, Leviticus 26:8 says, but if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall... that's not it. 26:8. I hit 27 by mistake. 26:8. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. If what? If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. God don't need a lot of numbers. You know what this means? Little is much when God is in it. And as long as we're on God's side, we have enough numbers to win the victory. But Gideon was tired. Gideon was small in numbers. Gideon was unsupported. Gideon was criticized. But Gideon pursued. God's servants must not quit the fight even when others do nothing. Now look, there's success in being steadfast. I want you to look at chapter 8, and I want you to look at verses 10 through 12. Now Zeba and Zalmunna, I like to say those words, were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left, all the hosts of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men, drew the sword. Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east side of Nobah and Jokbeah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. What that means is the host thought we're out of the woods. That's what they thought. But Gideon was not done. Gideon didn't quit. And the host was secure. And let me show you one other. Look, go down to verse number 28. Verse 28, chapter 8. This was Midian, subdued before the children of Israel. So they lifted up their heads. What's the next two words? No more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. Now listen to me. That wouldn't have happened if they had not been steadfast in their pursuit. And one thing we could miss is that even though they were faint, hungry, had been denied food, they had been criticized, they still got the job done. Now let me ask you, now let's look back. Do you think Judges chapter 6 and verse 13, look at this. Chapter 6, verse 13. Now remember early in the life of Gideon and his ministry, and he's trying to figure out what he's supposed to do and what God's working. And now remember when we first saw Gideon, he's behind the wine press and God said, hey, thou mighty man of valor. And basically Gideon goes like, who are you talking to? And then in chapter 6, verse 13, God said unto him, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. Now what I'm looking at is, and where be all his miracles? Right before our very face. Faint, hungry, tired, criticized, people not involved in the work of the Lord. But yet the Bible says they were faint yet pursuing. And it says that they lifted up their heads no more. Midianites didn't. The country was quietness for 40 years. That's not going to happen unless we stay steadfast, pushing forward, even when times are difficult. Now, let me just make few little applications here. When evil seems to control our world, be steadfast. When laws are being passed to protect and support evil, and they are, remain steadfast. When the Midianites oppress us for 7 years, remain steadfast. When they try to take God and the Bible out of school and the courthouse, stay steadfast. When alcohol is accepted by society as a normal, stay steadfast. When abortion on demand has killed millions of children, we need to stay steadfast. If Gideon can overcome with 300 and overwhelming odds, we too can accomplish things for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we need tonight? Listen to me. Everybody ready? Say, I'm ready. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for Easter Sunday. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the new beginning. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that even though we may be tired, even though we may be unsupported at times, even though we may be hungry, even though we may be criticized, even though we may be faint, yet pursuing the things of the Lord, being steadfast. God, I pray tonight that we would be encouraged to be steadfast no matter what the situation, no matter what the dilemma, just be steadfast and be unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And God, you tell us that the work that we do for you is not in vain, and we know that's true. And I pray, Lord, that you would take the life of Gideon and once again remind us that this man was faithful all the way to where Israel was able to have 40 years of quietness and the Midianites were totally put down. God, help us to be steadfast. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. 489, we know that. I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Go ahead, let's sing it.
I have decided.